Hello, beautiful people. This is The Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. I'd like to begin with two messages, or two quotations. The first is from Bob Avakian.
We can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible.
The other is this. U.S. and Israel, hands off the Palestinian people. Israel, stop the genocidal state of siege and war against 2 million Palestinians trapped in Gaza. U.S. imperialism, stop your bloody arming of Israel. Hamas is not a force for liberation. The Palestinian people need a real revolution. The people of the world need real revolution and a whole new emancipating way to live. Today's show will begin by going into various aspects of the ongoing genocidal assaults on the Palestinian people by Israel, backed by the U.S., and the struggle against these crimes. The second part of the show will feature an important recent event in Los Angeles, a punctuation point in the race to put real revolution and the revolutionary leadership of Bob Avakian on the map in the world that so desperately needs it. This past October 17th in Los Angeles and Hollywood, a special screening of a portion of the Bob Avakian interviews was held and attended by a diverse audience. It was up at the Hudson Theaters. We'll hear parts of a discussion that followed the screening of Bob Avakian's interview between myself and Andy Z, who are the hosts of the Revolution Nothing Less show. And we were in conversation with the filmmaker, David Zeiger, who is the creator of the movie Sir No Sir. So we're going to begin today's show with a commentary from Andy Z from the last episode of the Revolution Nothing Less show, and this will be followed by a conversation between Andy and myself on the struggle to put revolution on the map in 2023, including an important announcement of upcoming events.
Look at what the f*** is going on in the world today. Look at what your country is doing right now. This so-called greatest and oldest democracy in the world is embracing, backing, and arming Israel, their enforcer in the Mideast, to commit still greater war crimes and crimes against humanity in the open-air concentration camp of Gaza. And the U.S. has itself sent battleships and troops to threaten the Arab world. This on top of the U.S.'s proxy war with Russia and Ukraine, which has threatened the danger of spiraling into a nuclear war. And that danger is now combined with the serious danger of the war on Gaza accelerating into a wider regional war in the Mideast, with repercussions back on the war in Ukraine, as well as impacting U.S. contention with China. This is as mad as it is criminal. I say this not to mitigate one iota the massive loss of life, limb, and terror in Gaza, nor to look past the bitter reality that the present leadership in Gaza is the reactionary fundamentalist Islamic Hamas, who led a repugnant attack which included wanton murder of Israeli civilians, children, elderly, and which included the taking of hostages. Such actions are all war crimes that do real harm to the much-needed liberating revolution that the Palestinian people so desperately need. And as I said last week on this program, the horrors of Gaza are but one screaming shard of the brutal horror of what this oppressive system we live under, capitalism, imperialism, brings down on humanity every day it dominates the world, with the U.S. the number one oppressor. Just before I recorded this on Thursday evening, President Biden spoke from the Oval Office and he said,
"American leadership is what holds the world together."
Yeah, at the point of a nuclear missile, at the point of 700 plus military bases in 80 countries, and at the point of an economic stranglehold on much of the world. From the devastation of the climate to the danger of nuclear war between the U.S. and its rivals in Russia and China, to the billions of people here and around the world whose lives, whose potential, and whose spirits are crushed by this system, hear and take some time to think about these words from the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, whose work and whose leadership we follow.
We can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible.
This past Tuesday, here in Los Angeles, the RNL Show and the Babavakian Institute co-sponsored a special theatrical screening of selections from the Babavakian interviews on the RNL Show. The hour-long film held a diverse audience rapt. People who had never seen this were provoked and inspired, and those who had seen it before said this was a completely different experience to see the interview in a theater with an audience. The depth and the integrity of Babavakian on the big screen made revolution visceral and urgent for people. One man from South Central LA came planning to tell the RevComs that they wouldn't be seeing too much of him anymore. And he left saying, "You'll be seeing more of me." I want to share three short film clips. Before Sansara and I answered David's first question, I asked to make a statement which is fitting to begin today's show. And then I want to follow my remarks with a very profound statement from Babavakian that he made at Riverside Church in New York City in 2014 in a dialogue with Cornel West on revolution and religion. And that will be followed by a closing comment from David Zeiger that ended our talk back at the screening of the BA interviews on the RNL Show. David, I want to make a statement that we weren't planning to do when we planned this event, but the events of the last week have made this necessary. You've all just watched a small portion of the interview, which is we will get in to tell people what else is there. And you experienced Babavakian up close and personal, and we've given you an invitation with this substantive, very small excerpt of the show about the need for a humanity to be free from this capitalist imperialist system, the need for a revolution to emancipate all of humanity. You heard a little bit of the strategy for it, and what I feel is an exhilarating goal of the emancipation of all of humanity, as well as the beginning of a vision of how we could get there. And from that revolutionary internationalist perspective, we would be grievously remiss tonight if we didn't recognize the urgency of that road for revolution in a moment when the state of Israel, backed up by the United States government, is intensifying a genocidal, all-out war on the Palestinian people. The United States is providing this with political, moral, if you can call it that, financial, and military support. For 16 years, Israel and the United States have turned Gaza into an open-air concentration camp. And right now, they have shut off the very means of life, water, food, electricity, while flattening the city, forcing a mass exodus under bombardment, causing life for 2 million people to be a living hell. And the fundamentalist Islamic Hamas group who launched the surprise attack on Israel, their attack was poisoned by brutal war crimes that have nothing in common with any struggle for liberation. And it reflects their overall backward, theocratic, reactionary rule. But the reality is that the ultimate cause of what is going on now in Gaza rests with the state of Israel, a settler colonial state backed by and existing at the behest of the United States. And for us to stand silent in the face of that would be to betray all of our best friends and all of humanity, as he just said. So the RevComs have issued four slogans. I want to just read these slogans because they're very important. The first of the slogans is U.S. and Israel, hands off the Palestinian people. The second is Israel, stop the genocidal siege and war against 2 million Palestinians trapped in Gaza. U.S. imperialism, stop your bloody arming of Israel. Hamas is not a force for liberation. The Palestinian people need a real revolution. And last and very important, the people of the world need real revolution and a whole new emancipating way to live. And the road to a real emancipating revolution is what we just saw in Babavakian. And so now maybe you should answer David's question, but I did have to say that as we sit here tonight.
And there's a very important example, negatively, that we should all learn from in the state of Israel. The experience of Jewish people throughout centuries in Europe and other places of being bitterly discriminated against and viciously persecuted for centuries, and then under the rule of the Nazis during the time of World War II, being literally exterminated, with 6 million annihilated by the Nazis, certainly ranks at the very top in the whole history of crimes against humanity. But in response to this, among Jewish people, including those who survived that Holocaust, there have been two different and opposite responses. One is never again. Never again must this happen to any people anywhere. But the other is, because of what has been done to our people, anything we do from now on is justified. And so you find them founding the state of Israel on the basis of bloodthirsty ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people who live there, which is now reaching genocidal proportions. No. Our answer has to be the first. Never again shall this happen to any people, anywhere. We need to move to a world beyond all that.
I would like to make one little, not a speech, but just a personal point in relation to what's currently going on in Israel. There's a particular responsibility that those of us who are Jewish have in this situation. I honestly believe that. This is being done in your name. Mm-hmm. And when you stand up to it, you're going to be shot down. You're going to be called all kinds of vile names because that's the nature of what's happening right now, what Israel is doing. And it's on, particularly on those of us who are Jewish, to take that on. History has been erased. You know, history started when Hamas pulled off their disgusting attack. Somehow, everything that happened in the last 75 years is now irrelevant. It's really on us. And this is true, I guess, I mean, it expands into the question of dealing with anything that is happening in this world, with the climate and with World War and et cetera, et cetera. We have to take it on. We have to educate ourselves. We have to know what the history actually is and not let that be buried and act on it however we possibly can. This is genocide is being carried out in our name right now. Anyway, that's it.
I want to welcome Sansara Taylor, the co-host of the Revolution Nothing Less show. We had a great time at the talk back at the special screening of the Bob Avakian interviews on the RNL show.
Yeah, first of all, it's great to be here. Welcome to everybody tuning in. And it was an incredible evening. Even just showing those two short clips from the evening of you and David speaking about the situation in Gaza, I can't wait to share more, which we will do later in the episode. It was just an incredible thing to sit in a darkened theater with people, some of whom I know very well, many of whom I knew not at all, and get melded into an audience experiencing this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, the hope, the heart, the science, the humor. I mean, it was an extraordinary spirit that filled the room, and an evening that went on into the wee hours, and we'll show more later. So, yeah.
Yeah, good. We are going to show more. But before we do that, we want to tell you about how we're going to really take the movement for an actual revolution to another level.
Yeah, so all year, 2023, we've been saying this year, we have to put real revolution on the map and get this revolution known to millions throughout society and grow the organized forces for revolution. Because we're living in not normal times. We are living, not only is there the existential threat facing humanity of climate destruction, the intensifying danger of nuclear war, the situation that just screams out for revolution in Gaza, and not just revolution there, but revolution here in the heart of the imperialist beast that is backing the slaughter of the Gazan people. We're also facing a run-up to an election that in 2024, that is shaping up to be a major showdown and pivot point in locking mm-hmm. in potentially outright fascism in this country. MAGA Republicans with even more open, unrestrained white supremacy, genocidal white supremacy, the suppression and subjugation of women even more viciously, anti-LGBTQ stuff, climate change denialism, and so much more. We are in a race to get this revolution known now so that people can be acting on this situation as society comes to a head and increasingly rips open. So we've been saying this, put revolution on the map, and we've been fighting for it. But we are now announcing, and we're calling on you to take part in a revolution nothing less week coming up soon, October 28th through November 5th. It's actually a little more than a week because it's two weekends. But this is going to be a full week of intensified activity for people who've been part of this revolution for a long time and people who are newly learning about it, to be spreading this everywhere, getting it known throughout all of society and making a real advance in organizing people into this revolution.
You know, the moment that we're in makes this not only more urgent, but more possible. Even with the situations developed around Gaza, all kinds of people who've been somewhat dormant for the last year and locked in their own lives and feeling the weight of struggles that have been waged that haven't gone where they needed to go are now raising their heads again. And this is a chance to bring them, and they see what their country's doing in Gaza and Ukraine. And it's bringing big questions. But, you know, the week is coming just a year from this election. You mentioned that. But look, what's going on in this country right now? You're right. It's deeply divided. It's coming to a crisis of is how this country's ruled legitimate or not? This is coming up because one section of the ruling class, you can see this, no longer believe in any of the ways the country's been organized. They can't even elect, the fascist Republicans can't even elect a leader of the major house in the legislature, the House of Representatives. They can't even elect a Speaker of the House. This is unprecedented. But it's just a, I'm not a big fan of the House of Representatives, let me tell you that. But this is representative of how this country has been ruled for at least 150 years since the Civil War is coming to an end, with the Democrats being as bellicose as could be, warlike as could be in Ukraine, in the Mideast. As I said earlier, the danger of actually nuclear war is even greater. And all they can do is wanting to keep this country as it has been, which has been a horrifically oppressive to the people in this country, the majority of people who are really struggling, and unbelievably so to the people of the world. But as the normal way society has been run, people can start to question deeply. But the thing is, right now, we have to be out there in a different way. And it's not just we, the RevComs. So this week is a way that we are working to involve people as you're learning about this. And I want you to tell people, Sansar, about the plan we have to have a whole different morality among the people working on this for that week.
Yeah, so the week is going to consist of, actually at revcom.us at our website, we have more information announcing the week. We're going to have materials for the week, but it's going to consist of different activities on different days that are coordinated nationally. People getting out on Halloween night, October 31st, going into the parades, getting out in the neighborhoods of the oppressed, representing for this revolution and spreading it. November 1st is going to be a day across this country acting together to take the word of Bob Avakian, the leadership that we have for this, out to campuses, college campuses across the country, bringing his writings, his speeches, showing some of the interviews, spreading this on posters in different ways so that students and young people learn about this revolution and this leader. Throughout the week, there'll be different things. And on the weekend of the November 5th, 4th and 5th, there'll be marches in the neighborhoods of the oppressed and other places, gathering points, picnics, different forms. We'll be putting this on revcom.us. Wherever you are, if you're making plans as part of this, send them in. We'll post them. But throughout the week, with these different punctuation points, there's going to be a few cornerstones of the whole thing. And one of them is a major flyer that we're going to put out about this revolution week. And it will be spread. We're calling on people to spread it by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, in your neighborhood, on the walls, and in different public transit. Get it out on the campuses. It's part of getting this revolution known and seen. There's other materials to spread, posters about the interviews with Bob Avakian, other materials. But one big dimension through all of this is people organizing themselves together and on their own to spread this. Two, we're going to be showing and promoting the Bob Avakian interviews in a very concentrated way. Maybe you'll touch on that a little bit more. And three, we have these points of attention that the Revolution Clubs and the RevComs live by that are 6 points that concentrate the future society that we are fighting for, the relations among people, the ways of really interrogating and going for the truth, no matter where it leads you, even if it makes you uncomfortable, being very scientific. There's a number of things about this, how we live, our morality in the future that we're fighting for and how we live today. So throughout the week, the Revolution Nothing Less Week, we are calling on everybody to live by these points of attention, new to the revolution and people who've been part of them, and to spread them so that this becomes a growing attractive force for others to see people living by a whole different morality, a whole different way of relating to each other that's very emancipating, and to get these up on walls as well and to make them being debated, make them a growing force of authority and alternate morality in communities all across this country. It's a big part of what the Revolution Week is about. So there'll be more at revcom.us of the details, but that's the feel.
You know, taking part in this week is not only going to make a big difference in letting people know about the revolution, but it's going to be one of the most exciting things you've done. It's going to be extremely interesting. Sansara was talking about the points of attention. Well, one of the points of attention is this: we search for and fight for the truth, no matter how unpopular, even as we listen to and learn from the observations, insights, and criticisms of others. This is going to be a week where that's what we're doing. And there's going to be a chance, you know, we've been saying, since I was saying, people are going to get a chance to get into BA. Well, we're going to get into it. They're going to, for some of you, it'll be the first time. And as you're putting up posters, we'll also be discussing it with each other. We'll be talking about it. Struggling over and arguing over how we've been looking at the world and how come he sees everything out there that people are suffering from is so unnecessary. I want to encourage you. You might think, well, I really can't be part of this because I'm not a RevCom or I don't know that much about it. No, exactly the opposite. You can be a part of this. And I'm just going to say this right now, that because Bob Avakian has brought forward a whole new way to get to a world where all of humanity would be emancipated, including writing a constitution for a new socialist republic in North America. That's a whole different way we could be living and would solve so many of the problems and get us on the road to really liberation of all of humanity. That's a tremendous pull into the revolution. That attracts people to, oh, there's another way we could be living.
So before we close out, one other thing we're very excited to announce as part of this week. is November 5th.
Yeah.
In Oakland, California, there will be another big screen showing of the Bob Avakian interviews, the excerpts from this show, similar to what we did earlier this week here. And it's going to be a thrilling event. I'm hoping that we can both come up and be part of the talk back there. Maybe just one of us, but we'll figure that out. But this needs to be going on across this country. Big screenings, smaller screenings in backyards and cafes and street corners, everywhere. So I just want to really, really, we're excited about the November 5th showing up in Oakland.
And so follow us on revcom.us and also on social media to learn more about the plans for the week.
That was Andy Z and myself talking about putting revolution, real revolution, on the map. And this is all the more urgent right now as the world is watching a horrific crime against humanity unfold before our eyes in Gaza as Israel carries out genocidal slaughter backed to the teeth by the U.S. So next we'll hear a number of statements on the colonial settler state of Israel, on the ongoing genocide in Gaza and elsewhere, the repression against those opposing these crimes, and the need for people to rise up to put a stop to these atrocities and to get organized to bring the system behind them down through a real revolution. We'll begin with Annie Day on the current assault on Gaza. And I need to note here that there are a couple of clips in this segment of Israeli officials speaking in Hebrew. They are referring to Palestinians as human animals and beasts. Clearly the language of genocide.
Gaza, the world's largest open-air prison camp, has become the world's largest open-air death camp. Over the last 12 days, Israel has dropped over 6,000 bombs on the 2.3 million people who are packed tightly into a tiny strip of land 25 miles long. Israel's murdered almost 4,000 people, over 1,000 of them children. Israel's cut off water, electricity, and food. People cannot escape. Whole blocks have been leveled, mosques, churches, schools, medical centers bombed. Gaza has become an unending hellscape. Last week, Israel told the over 1 million people in northern Gaza to evacuate to the south, but then they bombed a convoy of 70 civilians trying to do just that. And they've repeatedly bombed southern Gaza, the very place that people were told to evacuate to.
Convoys of what appear to be evacuees were just hit by Israeli strikes.
This is genocide, and it's being justified by the leaders of Israel who don't consider the Palestinian people to be human beings. Literally.
It's not true. This rhetoric about civilians not aware, not aware, not involved, it's absolutely not true.
مع هيك وحوش بشرية رايحين نتعامل كيف لازم. إسرائيل فرضت إغلاق كامل على غزة ومش راح يكون في عندكم كهرباء ولا مي بس دمار. بدكم جهنم راح تحصلوا على جهنم.
The war is not just with Hamas. The war is with all the civilians.
And all this is being enabled by the U.S., justified by every major figure in the U.S. ruling class, the war criminal Democrats and the fascist Republicans alike. It's been given a big flashing green light and go-ahead with Biden's warm embrace of the fascist Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on his trip to Israel this week. The cries of the Palestinian people, the charred and bloody bodies, the murdered babies, the buildings turned into ash and rubble, all this is made in the USA. This country has funded, aided, supported, covered up, and defended Israel's crimes for generations. And why? Because Israel is an essential enforcer of a world order that the US is fighting to stay on top of. A world of exploitation, oppression, and unnecessary suffering. Israel is a strategic asset for the U.S. empire in the Middle East. After the Hamas attack, Biden declared,
"So in this moment, we must be crystal clear. We stand with Israel. We stand with Israel. And we will make sure Israel has what it needs to take care of its citizens, defend itself, and respond to this attack."
Biden has sent guided missiles, fighter aircraft, cluster bombs designed for indiscriminate killing and maiming. And the U.S. military is providing Israel with intelligence and support, sending over 2,000 troops. And all this is just the beginning. As this is being recorded, Israel has promised a land invasion of Gaza. And the Israeli military has explicitly loosened its criteria for killing without confirming whether the target is a combatant or a civilian. In other words, shoot anything that moves. What is urgently needed, particularly in the U.S., are masses of people rising up, making common cause and fighting for the interests of humanity against the imperialist powers and reactionary fundamentalist forces. What's needed is a revolution to overthrow this system. Join with others in the streets to demand stop Israel's U.S.-backed massive crimes against humanity in Gaza, and look seriously into the real way out of this madness. As the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, said,
"We can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible."
U.S. and Israel, hands off the Palestinian people. Israel, stop the genocidal state of siege and war against 2 million Palestinians trapped in Gaza. U.S. imperialism, stop your bloody arming of Israel. Hamas is not a force for liberation. That the Palestinian people need a real revolution. And the people of the world need real revolution and a whole new emancipating way to live.
As Israel escalates its U.S.-backed war on Gaza, the rulers of this country and their media mouthpieces want you to believe that history started 2 weeks ago when Hamas launched its brutal attack on Israel. Or they want you to think that this is just some age-old religious conflict that no one can understand. So let's pull the lens back and look at the real history of the state of Israel and why every U.S. president has backed its crimes for decades. Israel, a colonial project since the beginning. For many centuries, Jews in Europe were viciously oppressed. This culminated in the Holocaust, the systematic extermination of 6 million Jewish people by Hitler and the Nazis during World War II. Britain, the U.S., and other capitalist powers did little to stop this crime. But Britain did support the founding of Israel as a Jewish state. Why? Because they wanted a loyal colonial outpost to serve their interests in the Middle East. This wasn't even hidden. The main founder of the Zionist movement for a Jewish state, Theodor Herzl, openly appealed to the European powers on this basis. He said, "I must believe that here in England, the idea of Zionism, which is a colonial idea, should be easily and quickly understood in its true and most modern form." The Zionists insisted that Palestine was a land without people for a people without a land. There was just one problem. The Palestinian people were already there. Israel, a country founded on terrorist ethnic cleansing. From 1947 to 1949, the Zionists unleashed a wave of terrorist violence and mass expulsions of Palestinians. This is known as the Nakba, the Arabic word for catastrophe. During the Nakba, almost 1 million Palestinians were forced from their land. Many were raped, tortured, and killed. About 500 villages were destroyed. This is how the state of Israel was built. Jewish settlers breaking into and stealing Palestinian homes. Jewish towns built on the ashes of Palestinian villages. This is genocide, and it is not ancient history. It frames the daily life of every Palestinian, and it is continuing today. Israel's crimes, made in the USA. After World War II, the U.S. became the dominant imperialist power in the world and moved to control the Middle East. Over the last 60 years, the U.S. has developed their special relationship with Israel, giving it billions of dollars in military aid and other funding, way more than any other country. In exchange, Israel acts as an enforcer of U.S. imperialist interests in the Middle East and beyond. Joe Biden said this in 1986.
"Look at the Middle East. I think it's about time we stop those of us who support, as most of us do, Israel in this body, for apologizing for our support for Israel. There's no apology to be made. None. It is the best $3 billion investment we make. Were there not an Israel, the United States of America would have to invent an Israel to protect her interest in the region. The United States would have to go out and invent an Israel.
Israel plays an essential role for U.S. imperialism in the Middle East and does the U.S.'s dirty work all over the world. Israel has backed death squads in Guatemala, trained torturers in Iran, supplied arms to Argentinian fascists and apartheid South Africa. What does any of this have to do with Israel's claim that it's protecting and defending Jewish people? Absolutely nothing. But Israel's support for these reactionary and fascist forces around the world was of great use to the imperialist United States. It helped crush forces who were challenging U.S. interests while enabling the U.S. to keep much of the blood off their hands directly. Let's be clear. There is no way that Israel could slaughter children for decades, attack neighboring countries, and build a 21st century apartheid state without the military, economic, and political support it gets from the U.S.
The U.S., some countries in Europe, and Israel have tried to rule out of order any protest against the slaughter of the Palestinian people in Gaza by Israel, backed by the U.S.
There are not two sides here. There are not two sides.
In France, the National Interior Minister ordered local authorities to ban all pro-Palestinian demonstrations.
France has banned all pro-Palestinian demonstrations in the country. Again, this from the BBC. France has banned all pro-Palestinian protests that were planned in the country. In a statement, the government ordered the foreign nationals who break the rules to be systematically deported.
Meanwhile, the iconic Eiffel Tower was lit up with the Star of David and the blue and white of the Israeli flag. In England, the Home Secretary suggested that waving a Palestinian flag may be a criminal offense. And in the U.S., a massive campaign is going on to drive people from public life if they dare to criticize Israel and the U.S. The day after the Hamas attacks, the Harvard Palestine Support Committee issued a letter, co-signed by 34 other campus groups, condemning Israel for creating the conditions that gave rise to this violence. This letter foregrounded the historic oppression and current danger facing millions of Palestinians. While the letter had its shortcomings, the thrust of it was right. And in any case, this is a letter, the most basic form of the supposed free speech that the U.S. brags about. So what happened next? Harvard's Palestine Support Committee was temporarily suspended by Meta, and even after making clear that they stood against all violence against civilians, the people who signed this letter have faced vicious attack. A bunch of business leaders demanded that Harvard University release the names of students, all the students, who were part of any of the organizations who signed on to the letter so that they don't inadvertently hire any of those students in the future, ever. Then, a billboard truck drove around Harvard's campus displaying the names and photographs of students who are part of these organizations, calling them Harvard's leading anti-Semites. Not only the jobs and possible careers, but even the lives of students in any way connected with supporting Palestine were being placed under threat. And similar examples are happening throughout this country and around the world. So much for free speech and the so-called democratic rights of the U.S. and these other Western countries. It is the hammer of dictatorship coming on those who step out of line. Next, we will hear an extended excerpt from the discussion following the special screenings of selections from the Bob Avakian interviews that was held up at the Hudson Theaters in Hollywood, California. This will be David Zeiger, the filmmaker, talking with Andy Z and myself, Sansara Taylor. Let's listen.
What we're going to do is show you a very tiny clip, but an important one, where we asked Bob Avakian, what is a revolution?
So you've dedicated your whole life,
over decades to making revolution and emancipating humanity. And I want to talk about revolution. It's a word that people throw around all the time. And people mean radically, very wildly different things when they use it. What is a real revolution, and why is that necessary?
Well, it's not a new variation of Charmin toilet paper, okay? That's the first thing we can say. You know, it's not a change just in the culture, to be more serious. It means that you actually overthrow the existing system and replace it with a different system. That's what an actual revolution is. And yes, you know, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of people. I remember, you know, after the, I think it was Parkland shooting, you know, there was big rallies that were held, and one of the students from there, you know, got up to speak one of these big rallies, and the first thing he said was, "Welcome to the revolution," because there were, you know, large numbers, masses of people there. Well, masses of people are one important ingredient of a revolution. You don't make a revolution with a handful of people. You need, you know, millions of people ultimately to make a revolution. But the question is, what are those people fighting for? What are they aiming for? Are they aiming just to make changes within the existing system, or are they actually recognizing that you cannot bring about the positive resolution of all these different horrors that exist in this country, and we could go through them, but in the world as a whole? You know, you cannot bring about a positive resolution to that, an elimination of all that, within the confines of this system. That is another scientifically determined, evidence-based truth. And so therefore, a revolution means that you overthrow this system in order to, you know, bring into being a completely different foundation in how the economy functions, different relations among people that are not oppressive, a different culture that, instead of reinforcing all this garbage and oppression, actually reinforces emancipating relations among people and emancipating ideas among people, you know, and all the political structures also are transformed in order to serve the further transformation of society, to uproot all the underlying basis for all this exploitation and oppression. That's a revolution. Nothing short of that is an actual revolution.
That question of hope and optimism is a, I think that's a big point in terms of the dilemma that we all face today. I mean, it's interesting. Because I think a lot of times the way people respond, the more they know about what's happening, the more despairing they are because of how massive. I'll just give you two examples. I don't know if people saw, there was a article, I think, in the Washington Post just a few days ago about how the oil companies are doubling down on fossil fuels. That they are, you know, they're betting. This is from a purely pragmatic approach. Okay, eventually it's all going to be batteries, but until then, you know, we got to make massive profits, and that's going to come through oil. And so there's all this, and, you know, and of course, Biden, you know, on the one hand says you can't do it, on the other hand says, here, go ahead. And then the other thing on World War, there was another article that talked about how the military, the U.S. military has dramatically changed its strategic approach to war, that previously it was fighting against indigenous uprisings. such as Afghanistan and Iraq, which they so effectively fought against. But now it is what they call peer-to-peer warfare, meaning Russia, China. And so, I don't know, these things that kind of push things in the direction of very, very intense upheavals, how do you deal with the despair? I mean, how do you deal with, I mean, how do you practically deal with that in terms of drawing the connection between what's happening there and the possibility of revolution, of, you know, of a different way? How do you do that?
I think it's really important to actually
First off, it's really important to approach this scientifically, not just on the surface, but to look below the surface. What is actually happening and why is it happening? And there's a lot of work that's been done on this that's a resource for everybody in this room. 5 1/4 hours of this. He goes into this in a lot of depth. There's the weekly RNL Revolution Nothing Less show where we go into this. There's the website, revcom.us. And just in the last three years, Bob Avakian's written over 200 articles on that website. There's a lot of stuff that can go into this. But to get to the question, I think things are different right now. Things are very tightly drawn. People feel the craziness. They feel the despair. They feel the hopelessness. And yes, we are bringing hope on a scientific basis to people. And look, it's really important to think about the political situation in this country where there's this great divide in the ruling class between one section of the ruling class. I'm going to repeat some of what he just said there. Doesn't believe anymore in the myths that have always been a myth, but which cohered this country. Well, you know, I can remember my parents telling me, if you don't like this president, you're going to get a chance to vote for another president. Then you get to vote for somebody in Congress, and you're going to be able to get your change through. Well, how's that working out right now? It's not working out right now. It hasn't ever worked out for the masses of oppressed people, but now it's especially sharply drawn. People are in a certain amount of shock in the face of all of this, and that's only going to become more extreme. Because the Democratic Party will be, as the party that's representing the norms of how this society has functioned, is going to continue to say, we're going to file lawsuit after lawsuit and do things this way. And these fascists in the Republican Party don't give a f-. That combines with a situation where there's the very danger. There's a lot of youth out there who think that, and looking at the climate, you mentioned that, whether they've read that Washington Post article, where in fact it actually talked about that these oil companies are fighting with each other there to see who's going to be the last one standing. They're willing, actually openly willing to destroy the earth to be able to get that last thing. But people, these kids know that there's something about this society that's not right. But as the society tears apart at the top, that can cause and will cause people to question, and it will jolt them. I mean, you know, I was just looking at a picture from Argentina, where one of the major cities in the middle of the country is completely surrounded by fires right now that may encroach on this city. Then there's another one in South Asia right now. Then there's what happened up in British Columbia, the Northwest. The world is on fire, it's drowning. The water is going to be running out in the center of the United States. The same time that there's these wars going on that could potentially involve, there are 2,000 troops who were just sent to outside of Gaza on two different battle groups to be prepared for the possibility, which might even become a likelihood, that this becomes a regional war and U.S. sees its interests at stake. The same thing in the acceleration of the war in Ukraine. In all of this, if there is a force out there that's saying it's this system, mm-hmm. and can make the case to people why it's the system that gives rise to this, and this is the most important thing, that there's another way the world could be. That's why we put forward, I did bring it with me. Yeah. Always like show and tell. I liked it in school too. That's the only thing I liked in school. But this declaration, we need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system in the name of the people and in the name of the humanity. We can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to continue to dominate the world and determine the destiny of humanity. And it is a scientific fact that humanity doesn't have to live this way. And the existing capitalist imperialist system, the institutions of government, must be abolished and dismantled, and a new socialist system based on the Constitution for a new socialist republic in North America instituted in its place.
I guess I just want to say one thing on the despair and one thing on people knowing so much and just getting more despairing, which is that there's people know a lot of things. They know a lot of bad is happening. And you mentioned two really existential threats to humanity's future, the climate destruction and the threat of nuclear war. There are other, I mean, those are the two big existential threats to humanity. There are other really major, profound horrors that this system inflicts on people. And everybody in this room, we could spend hours, weeks, like, cataloging them. What people don't know, even those who are informed of a lot of world events, there's a difference between knowing a lot and knowing what's the cause of it. And at the root of it, this is, you spoke to this, capitalism, imperialism. You know, like I think about the climate movement, it's one of the most inspiring things is how many young people have turned their lives upside down in the last 5-6 years at different points, striking for the climate, sitting in for the climate, hunger striking for the climate, getting arrested for the climate, doing all kinds of daring things and older people too. Seeing this is a threat to humanity, but over and over again, I mean, they say different things. They have different reforms, different solutions within this system. But a lot of them, you hear them say, don't the people in power have grandkids? Don't they care about their own kids' future? And what they don't understand is within the system of capitalism, it is imperative that those oil companies compete, expand or die. If you don't get in there and drill when the Arctic is melting and you get those new oils that are opened up, somebody else will and they'll drive you out of business. That's built into the nature of the system. You cannot reform that with a Green New Deal. You cannot reform that with a few, you know, green energy, this or that, within the framework of capitalism. The environment will always be an externality to profit. It's built in. The wars are built in. We could go through and catalog white supremacy. You cannot reform it out of this system. It's got you got to overthrow it. There's knowing what's the cause of it, and not just, you know, it's like if you're ill, you might really be bummed out by all your symptoms, and I could get that if you're really having aches and welts and different things are malfunctioning in your body. But when then you get to a doctor who has a diagnosis, says here's what's at the root of it, and here's how we could treat that. Here's what we would have to change. Here's how we would have to act on your body to set a different dynamic in play where you start to heal, which is not always possible. But one of the things that Bob Avakian has done, and I think this is what people don't see, it's not just a bunch of bad therefore we should overthrow them. The actual contradictions of this system are the very things that give rise to the basis to overthrow them. All those youth, if they had a different understanding of the environment, could be a dynamic, major dynamic factor in making revolution. If people understood the roots, the millions who poured out in the streets in 2020 against police murder and white supremacy, if they had some sense of what was causing that, that could be a what I'm getting at is the thinking of people. There's the despair I get it if you just think it's bad stuff that's going on and there's no method to the madness. Mm-hmm. There's nothing behind it. But when you can expose that to people and give them away, I think there's no excuse for despair right now. There's a lot of excuse for being up at night, agonizing. Where are the thousands? Where are the millions? Where, how do we do this? But we have actually a shot, and it's true, more possibility in this period precisely because of how much things are being ripped up in different ways. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go on because I see you're ready and I want to hear your question. So I'm going to leave it at that. But it depends on what understanding people confront those changes with. And there's a difference between knowing a lot of horrible stuff is happening and having a sense that there's a root cause and there's a solution. And we've got to go fight for that. And that is, we should, yes, have worry, but we should have a lot of daring and hope as well.
You did ask about what would give people hope. And the question of revolution in this country, now I definitely agree, we have to struggle very hard with people. But in a country like this, I mean, in one sense, in every country at this point in the world, but certainly in a country, because people are, the culture is somewhat integrated around the world. People have cell phones everywhere, even if they don't have clean water in some places. The situation in the world, including with the environment, could push people into the revolution. We have to struggle with them over solutions and a scientific method to understand that. But they also need to be pulled into the revolution by what that revolution could do, which is why this says there's a whole other emancipating way we could be living, and why we picked the segments that we, from the interview that we did. You might notice, I mean, there's a question answer on the oppression of women. There's one on oppression of black people. There's something on immigrants. All the political questions that you, what about this? What about that? That's all in there. We picked a lot of stuff about Bob Avakian. Why? Besides giving you a chance to get to meet the person, having leadership like this that knows the way out of the madness, that understands the, remember he made this point at the end, that it's not just that I understand what's afflicting you, but I see that it's unnecessary. And I went to work on how it could be different. And it's kind of extraordinary to have a constitution that, for example, on the environment, makes one of the requirements of the new economy that every economic project in the new society has to be ecologically sustainable or repairing the damage already done. When people learn science in their millions through a different education system, that's going to actually enable people to learn how the world really works and not the bullshit that's taught in schools except at a certain technical level for a small strata of people larger.
Except by some teachers, by the way.
So. Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is a My great wife is teacher. A high school if teacher. You want to learn film, go see this guy. And more than that. Yeah, okay, I'm taking
Government,
too much
no
time.
Less.
But I wanted to bring out why we did... That getting this film out, getting Bob Avakian known in the world for what he actually is and what he's done is a positive factor. People need to be pushed into the revolution by events. That's what I was speaking about. They also need to be pulled into it by the future society, a different way we could be living. And the fact that there is leadership. You talk for 5 minutes seriously about overthrowing this system and defeating all those institutions that enforce it, the largest army in the world, the largest navy in the world, the police forces, and you want to know there's somebody who knows how to lead this and has developed a strategic approach to this for today and for when you would have a different form of struggle. You have all that with tremendous heart from this person. That is a very inspiring thing. Anybody who seriously wants a different world cannot be inspired by Hamas. I know that people and all the forces in the world like that, even as they may take some excitement from the fact that they're fighting back, but they're fighting back against an oppressor to only institute what will end up to be a new horror for the masses of people. It's a whole different thing with Bob Avakian and the new communism. And I just want to say that that is a big part of the message we have to get out to people today so that they can find out about this and see that there is a way out of the madness and there is leadership for that.
And this brings us to the end of another Michael Slate show. I want to thank you for spending the hour or even a portion of the hour with me. My name is Linsara Taylor. Once again, your guest host. We send our love to Michael Slate. And I want to thank Henry Carson, our assistant producer. We will be back next week. And until then, remember, the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible.